Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
The first ever test of the National Emergency Alert System is being held today. What are the alerts for? Why is it being tested? What could go wrong? And what does it mean for us? Let's go in depth with Joe Schloss with the Iowa Broadcast Association.
Joe, what's the FCC doing with this emergency test?
This is the first time that the whole system has gotten to be checked from Washington all the way down to Pella, Iowa, or Spencer, South Dakota, or wherever. We in the state test our state system once a month, and we test our local systems once a week. But this is the first time that we're actually going to have an end-to-end test from Washington to the whole rest of the country.
Well, that's pretty interesting. Radio's been around. I think the first radio station in Iowa was in 1922, and we haven't had a national test yet?
No. We started with the old CALARAD system. From the CALARAD, we moved to the EBS, which was the Emergency Broadcast System. That was never checked end-to-end. And this is the first test of the new EAS system. And again, this is the first time that it's been checked stem to stern.
And do you know why this is the first time? It would seem that that might be something they would want to do before now.
Yeah, there's a lot of logistics in getting it done. You know, during the EBS and the CALARAD years, we were in the Cold War. How would the Russians have looked on it had we had a national-level test? It was just difficult to coordinate. But it's come to the point where we have so many different avenues for this information to go that it needs to be tested. But between satellite-delivered TV, terrestrial TV, terrestrial radio, satellite radio, we need to know that people will be alerted. And we have competition now with iPods and MP3 players and things that aren't hooked up to broadcast of any sort. How are those people going to be alerted? That's something that's going to have to be looked at in the future. And those people are going to miss this test. But it's important that we do the test to see where we have, or we know we have pitfalls, to find out exactly where those holes are so we can fix them.
Well, that's sort of the power of radio and the general and the broadcast medium, is that we get to a lot of people. But changes in technology, maybe we need to make sure that radio is available in iPods, et cetera.
Yeah, radio goes everywhere. I mean, it's right there. It's just a matter of how a device can turn on and alert.
And you don't think it has anything to do with national security issues now?
No. I think that they want to be able to alert everybody. Frankly, other than a nuclear disaster or something of biblical proportion, I just can't see where it would be utilized on anything other than a regional level. Now, this is a last-ditch effort. This is when all other methods have failed and the president wants to address the country. That would be something like having a Katrina tied with an earthquake in California, tied with some other event on the East Coast and a big outbreak of tornadoes in the middle of the country where just everything was falling apart. It'd have to be some, pretty bad scenario in order for that to occur. But we need to have it, and everybody needs to have their own personal preparedness kit. And we as a nation need to have, we need to be prepared in case something bad happens too.
Well, it sounds like one of those typical movie kinds of things where the aliens land on the White House lawn.
Yeah, kind of a big Apocalypse Now kind of thing. But it's not outside the realm of possibility. I mean, there's a, in the Azores, I think it's in the Azores or the Canary Islands, a big earthquake or a big volcano that's just poised to break. And there's some speculation that if that ever let loose, there'd be a massive tidal wave that would take out most of the East Coast. Well, that includes D.C. Well, the commander-in-chief may want to address the country from Air Force One or something like that, and we got to know we can do it. Will it ever be used? I hope not. If it needs to be used, I want it there.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Joe Schloss with the Iowa Broadcast Association about the first ever test of the National Emergency Alert System being held today.
We're used to being prepared for Iowa broad emergencies, and here at KNIA, KRLS, we broadcast weather alerts. We are, you know, wall to wall when there's a tornado warning or severe thunderstorm warning. So we're used to that. But if it was something bigger, we might not even know what, like you were talking about, we might not even have some kind of a natural region for it to work. It might cross-cut region. And so hence the national, like if an earthquake or a tsunami was going to hit the West Coast, some conveniently devised organizational structure for, you know, a West Coast organizational drill might not have the boundaries that you wanted, hence the national emergency test.
Yeah, that could be true. We could have multiple emergencies going on at once, and maybe it would be most prudent for the president to address the nation. Have to be pretty bad before, you know, all the network satellites are down and everything's bad. There are only a few uplinks. I mean, things like that are not beyond the realm of possibility. The odds, I think, would be pretty long.
Now, I know some equipment upgrades have gone into this. Is that a common thing across the country, equipment upgrades?
We, as broadcasters, in the spring are going to have our current EAS boxes, although you could keep them, are going to be supplemented by a system called Common Alerting Protocol. Most broadcasters are just getting a whole new EAS box because their current unit is probably 10 or 15 years old and approaching the end of its design life, rather than buy a extension box that makes that one CAP capable, probably just better to get a new box, which is what most broadcasters are doing. So that's where some of the upgrades are coming from.
This is for television and radio?
Yeah, it's going to be for basically anything that has a FCC license tied to it. Cable systems, wireless cable systems, wireline video providers and satellite video providers, direct satellite radio and TV off-air or free broadcast radio and television. The one area that there's some concern about is with hearing disabled or people with a hearing disability. When they see a TV crawl on some cable systems and not off-air broadcast providers, the EAS box inherently is going to throw up a message that says a primary entry point station has issued an action notification. That's a real live alert. That's what the EAN code that is going to be sent is. It's the real deal. It's the real alert. So the box is going to react that way as it's a real alert, and it's going to throw up this message. And it could frighten people. If you're hearing impaired, you may believe that the event is really occurring. Broadcasters, for the most part, the TV guys, are going to put up a graphic behind it that says this is a test. There's some concern that the cable providers and some of the satellite providers won't do that. That's why they cut the original 3-minute test to a 30-second test to try to alleviate some of those fears. We also don't want the 911 system to be overwhelmed by people thinking, oh, this is an actual alert. It's a test, and if your cable system doesn't say it's a test, you just have to know that it is. Hopefully we're doing enough outreach to make sure that everybody knows that.
Well, that just brings up another issue then. If there was such a thing, our 911 systems would be overloaded. Maybe they need some upgrading.
One of the first things that happens, I mean, it happened in New York. Cell systems went down because they were overwhelmed. 911 went down because it was overwhelmed. The internet got swamped because it was overrun. In any major event, that's always going to happen. I don't know how we could plan for it. I don't know that in particularly this economy we have enough resources to overbuild the system enough to be able to handle it.
And we might not want to.
No, we might not want to.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Joe Schloss with the Iowa Broadcast Association about the first ever test of the National Emergency Alert System being held today.
Now, how do you know that, and how do the officials know that it worked? Do stations report back, yes, we got the signal, yes, we aired it?
That is mandatory. All stations have we have a form that we have had to have filled out. We have 2 or 3 days after to send in our report. You can send it in via a printed out form that you mail in U.S. mail, or most of us are opting to send it in electronically.
And we will find out where the weak links are and how to solve the problem.
Hopefully, that's the purpose of the test. No data is bad data. Even if a station didn't get the alert or didn't get the termination notice, that's useful information. And once that's compiled, we can come up with improvements to the system. So no data is bad data.
Well, here at KNI KRLS, we have live people at the station 24/7, 365. What about those stations that don't have that local presence and just are, you know, have stuff piped in?
The original intent of the emergency alert system was to mitigate just those kind of circumstances. All of the boxes are required by law to react to an EAN. If, because your station is staffed, you choose to operate your box in a manual or semi-automatic mode, it takes actions on your staff's part, and they have to be trained to forward those messages. Stations that are unattended at night or, you know, whatever portion of the day, there's another mode which is automatic. In automatic mode, the EAN should come in, should go out with no intervention required by anyone. There is some concern from a couple of the manufacturers, TFT and Sage, that the boxes are going to respond the way they want them to if they're in a mode other than automatic. So, you know, kind of by default, we're just suggesting to everybody that put them in automatic. Even if you don't usually use the automatic mode, put them in automatic. In the state of Iowa, we ask everybody to be in automatic mode because we use the system for Amber Alerts, which is child location emergency. That being the case, the Amber Alert will always get through if it's in automatic mode. As long as you're in the automatic mode, the box has to be able to respond to the EAN as it is issued. So it'll be issued, there'll be an 8-second audio tone, there'll be a 30-second message that this is a test of the national alert, and then you'll hear 3 more little tones, and everything should go back to normal. And we should be back to regular broadcasting.
Well, you're helping coordinate this for the entire state of Iowa. Are you a little nervous about the test?
No, I feel good about it. I think that everybody is pretty prepared. It's not snuck up on us. We've known that it's been coming for quite a while. I have confidence, at least in the boxes that are in my area. As long as everybody keeps them in automatic mode, I think we'll be in the state of Iowa will be in pretty good shape.
Thanks to Joe Schloss for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com.
The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIA KRLS and KNIA KRLS.com.